righty. Righty, 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 righty. I was kind of torn between two messages tonight, and I landed on this one because I think it's something that we need to take a look at. I've never really done an extensive study on this subject until now. And what it is the Lamb of God. That's the title of tonight's message. And in John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "The next day when John seeth Jesus coming unto him, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for what you've done for us. I pray that we might get something out of this. Father, I want to be a help to the people tonight. I just pray that they would listen intently and that they can leave this place saying, you know what, I learned something tonight. And I'll give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What I want to do tonight is something that I don't think many preachers have ever done. And that's pull a parallel between the sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament and the sacrificial lamb given for salvation in the New Testament. And we're going to do that tonight. We're going to take a look at the parallelism between what was done in the Old Testament and what was what happened in the New Testament. Now, if you take and you look in the Old Testament, you'll see that the sacrificial lamb was to be a type of Christ. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Now, if we look at those two verses, we'll see that the sacrificial lamb was something that they had to take. Each household had to have one in the Old Testament. Every household had to have one lamb. And they took that lamb, they killed that lamb, they took the blood, and they put it on the doorpost, and the death angel came over, and that was what it was. And from that time on, they had to take once a year a sacrificial lamb, kill it, and use it as a sign of, you know, what Jesus did or what God did in Egypt. Now, what we need to realize is that it was a picture, though, of what Jesus was going to do for us on the cross. The sacrificial lamb was given because Jesus was going to do that for us. Now, Jesus was the true Lamb of God. And we read this, but John 1:29 says, "And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, we need to realize that Jesus was going to be the true Lamb of God. He was the one that was going to be offered as a sacrifice for you and I. Now, the lamb which was used for a sacrifice was a type of Christ. And it was a picture of what Christ was going to do. In Genesis 22:8, it says, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." Now, it was not by the lamb given each year that took away their sins. They were rolled over one year. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year. He would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, and their sins were rolled over. It wasn't until Jesus died on the cross that our sins were forgiven. Now, if you look at the story of Abraham and Isaac were walking up to Mount Moriah, and they had everything. They had the fire, they had the knife, They had everything they needed to take and do the sacrifice except for the lamb. And Abraham told Isaac, he says, God will supply the lamb. And so that showed a type of Christ. After all, Abraham was going to give his only what?
Begotten son
as a sacrifice. Also, this lamb had to be without blemish. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep and or from the goats. In 1 Peter 1:19, it says, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. A lamb with just one little spot on. We talked about this the other night in we were going through Revelation. A lamb that just had one little spot on it could not be used. If it had a bruise, it could not be used. If it was limping, it could not be used. It had to be kept for 4 days. It had to be locked up and watched before it could be used as a sacrifice. Now, Jesus had to be perfect, spotless, without sin to become this substitute. Jesus had to live a perfect life. Think of that. He could not sin. He had to live a perfect life so that you and I would have the perfect sacrifice for our sin. But it was also be taken out of the flock. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, it says, for your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Hebrews 12, 17 says, wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. He was a Benjamite of the family and of the line of David. If you go all the way back through Mary's line, you'll see that Jesus was all the way back to Adam and Eve. Now, we need to understand that Jesus was separated from his people, and they all rejected him. You know, think about that for a minute. The Jews rejected Jesus as being the Messiah. And yet, here we see that he was rejected of men. Not only that, but he is also chosen beforehand. He was chosen beforehand, and so was the lamb. Now, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, it says, speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. 1 Peter 2:4 says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of them, but chosen of God and precious. We need to realize that Jesus was chosen beforehand, and so was the lamb. The lamb was chosen before it was ever used as a sacrifice. In John 17:24, it says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. Think about that. Jesus was loved by the Father before the foundations of the world were put together. Now, Jesus was chosen before the worlds were created. You know, I can't fathom that. I just can't myself. I can't understand how that Jesus could have been chosen to be the sacrificial lamb before the worlds were created. I mean, that to me, I can't understand that. You know, my mind won't let me grasp that. You know, how far back that was. You know, you think about it, and it could have been eons of time before the worlds were created
that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit said, okay, one day we're going to have a sacrifice. We're going to have a sacrificial lamb given for the sins of the world. Now, I would have thought to myself, what's the world? But they knew before and after and ahead. So they knew there was going to be a world. They knew that there what was going to be happening. But the sacrificial lamb also had to be killed by the people. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 6, it says, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. In Acts 2:23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You know, the sacrificial lamb had to be killed by the people the night before the Passover. It was killed at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when it was killed. It was killed, it was dressed, and it was they started to roast it then. Now, think about Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, about what time did he die? About 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There's many commentators that say that he died at the precise moment that the lambs were being killed for the Passover. And it had to be that way. He had to be killed at the same time that the lambs were killed for the Passover, because he was going to be our Passover. He was going to be the sacrifice for you and I for our sins. Now, when Jesus was crucified, he was killed by the people. In Luke 23:21, it says, but they cried, crucify him, crucify him. All the people in one accord cried to have the Lamb of God crucified. They did not understand that this was the very Son of God. They didn't understand that. They thought he was just another man. And yet they were going to crucify the very Son of God. But it had to happen. And it had to happen in the way that it did. It had to happen at the very moment that it did. Because he had to die at the same time the sacrificial lambs were dying for the Passover. Now, they were killed at the place where the Lord put his name. This is where the sacrificial lambs were killed. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 2, it says, thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and of the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Deuteronomy 16, 5 to 7 says this, thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in. There thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt turn in the morning and go unto thy tents. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 33 it says, nevertheless I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Now, we need to realize that it was only in one place that the sacrificial lambs could be killed. You could not, if you lived outside of Jerusalem, you could not kill a sacrificial lamb outside of Jerusalem. They had to be in Jerusalem to be killed. The lambs had to be brought to Jerusalem to be killed. Now, Jesus had to be taken to or go to Jerusalem in order to be offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. You know, even though Jesus went through all of the Middle East he still had to come back to Jerusalem to die. He had to be in Jerusalem in order to give his precious blood for you and I as a ransom for our sins. And I found this so very interesting in that, you know, if you live 20 miles outside of, or 30 miles outside of Jerusalem, you had to come into Jerusalem with your lamb for the Passover to have it killed there. You had to kill it in Jerusalem. Then you had to take it back home. And you roasted it at home and ate the Passover at home with your family. But the lamb had to be killed in Jerusalem. I mean, that is phenomenal. Just think of the hundreds of people that brought their lambs to Jerusalem to have them killed, to take them back home to have the Feast of the Passover. Now, what we need to realize is that Jesus had to do everything in accordance with the law. Everything had to be done in accordance with the law. He had to take and die according to the law. He had to be buried, and he rose again. Now, what we need to realize is that he had to die in Jerusalem, and he had to die at a specific time. And a lot of people don't understand that he had to die at a certain time. But he had to die at the same time the lambs were being killed for the Passover feast. Not only that, but his blood had to be shed. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides of the post and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it." In Luke chapter 22 and verse 20, it says, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is a new testament of my blood, which is shed for you." It was the blood that was placed on the doorpost that saved the firstborn in every house in Egypt. Remember the story? Remember how Moses said, you have to do this or your firstborn will die? Well, that's exactly what they did. Now, after the law, once a year, the shed blood was taken into the Holy of Holies. It was sprinkled seven times on the mercy seat, and the sins of the people were rolled over 1 year. Jesus' blood had to be shed for the remission or the forgiving of sins. Not the rolling over, but the forgiving of sins. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, "And almost all things are under the law, purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." So here we see that Jesus entered one time into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and he offered his blood. People say, oh, how could that be? He did not shed enough blood under or on the cross for our sins. I beg to differ. And the reason I beg to differ is this. Where did Jesus start bleeding? Huh? Garden of Gethsemane. The night before, he was praying. Great drops of blood came out of his forehead and went on the ground. They took him in. They plucked his beard. Blood flowed from his face. They beat him about the head. Blood flowed from his head. They took a cat of nine tails and went 29 times across his back and ripped the flesh right out of his back, and blood gushed out of his back. They put a crown of thorns upon his head, and blood came down his head. There was a trail of blood from Gethsemane all the way to the cross, and I believe that God the Father took all of that blood up to heaven, placed it in a lever, and he says, here's your blood. Here's the blood that has to be used as a sacrifice. Now, there's a lot of people who don't agree with me with this, but I don't care. I believe that the Ark of the Covenant is in heaven. And I can show it to you in the Bible. I don't have the verse right now. But it's in Revelation. We'll see it in Revelation when we get through it. But and I believe that Jesus took his blood to that mercy seat with God the Father sitting on the mercy seat, and he sprinkled his blood 7 times on that mercy seat in front of God the Father. Wow. You know, guys, as I was doing this, I was at awe thinking of how that all of this had been pre-planned all the way back from before the foundations of the world. And it was all put into orchestration during Moses' time when they came out of Egypt. You know, I mean, it's phenomenal. And yet it all played out in the end how Jesus was going to be the sacrificial lamb, and how that his blood was going to be used as a ransom for your sins and mine. You know, Jesus entered one time and he offered his blood on the mercy seat in heaven for the sins of the whole world. Now, if it were possible for us to lose our salvation, how many times would Jesus have to go in and offer his blood? Over and over and over and over and over. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know, what is so interesting about this is that how many times did the high priest have to go into the Holy Holies? Once a year. Once a year he had to go in, he had to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. Once a year. How many times did Jesus go in? One time. One time for all. Man. That, to me, is sacrificial love. That he went to the cross, shed his blood, took his blood into God the Father sitting on the mercy seat, and offered it 7 times on that mercy seat for you and I. It wasn't for himself. He had redemption. I mean, he had eternal life. He had everything. It was for you and I. You know, one of the things that I found interesting also is that there could not be a bone broken in the lamb. The sacrificial lamb could not have any bones broken in it. Exodus chapter 12, verse 46, it says, in one house shall it be eaten. Ye shall not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. In John 19:36, it says, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Wow! Not a bone should be broken of the sacrificial lamb. They were killed in a certain way so that the lamb was not injured in dying. When Jesus died on the cross, every joint of his body became out of joint. However, there was not a bone that was broken. Remember what happened to the thieves on the cross? It became the afternoon, late in the afternoon, and they weren't dead yet, so they broke their legs. The reason they broke their legs is so they couldn't raise themselves up on the cross and take a breath. They broke the legs, and that way it was a faster death. They came to Jesus, and he was what? He was dead already. And they never broke any of his bones. They couldn't break any of the bones because it was prophesied that way. The sacrificial lamb could not have any bone broken. And that's why Jesus had none of his bones broken. The thieves, they all had bones broken. But Jesus had no bones that were broken. It also had to be eaten with unleavened bread. It had to be eaten with unleavened bread. Exodus chapter 29, verse 39, or chapter 12, verse 39 says this. And they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt. For it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, it says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye were unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is a sacrifice for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, if you take and you think about this, the Israelites came out of Egypt in haste. They did not have time to bake anything. All they had was the dough. That's all they came out with, was just the dough. And none of it had any yeast in it, because the yeast would have been put in the morning. It would have raised. As soon as it was raised, they beat it down. They'd raise again. They'd put it in the oven. They would bake it, and they'd have leavened bread. Now, they came out in such a hurry in the night that there was no leaven put in the dough at all. All they had was the dough. And when they got into the wilderness, all they could do was bake unleavened bread. When they had the first Passover, or when they had the night of the Passover feast, God told them, bake bread unleavened. So they had to take, and they had to make new bread without any leaven in it, and bake it. And they used that as the first Passover feast. Unleavened bread and a Passover lamb. And that's what they ate for the first Passover meal. Now, if you take and you look at Jesus, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, it was during the feast of what? Unleavened bread. Okay, what is the feast of unleavened bread? Leaven had to be out of the homes for 7 days. There could not be any leaven whatsoever in the house for 7 days. Now, in that time, they ate unleavened bread. The night of the Passover, they had the lamb, they had the bitter herbs, and they had the Passover feast, and they had the unleavened bread. Now, when Jesus had the first Lord's Supper, what did he use for bread? Unleavened bread. And the reason he did was because it was the feast of unleavened. Here we see that Jesus used unleavened bread as he instituted the Lord's Supper. What else did he use for the cup? He used grape juice, not wine, not fermented wine, because fermented wine had what in it?
Leaven.
Yeast or leaven. And they could not have any leaven. Now think about this for a minute. One of the staples of the Israelites was what? Wine. And some of it was pretty stout stuff. But during the time of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, there could not be any leaven. No wine whatsoever in the house. There could not be any leaven, because leaven represented sin. And there could not be any sin in the house during the Passover feast. So they drank grape juice and they had unleavened bread. When Jesus did the Lord's Supper the first night, he had grape juice and he had unleavened bread. That's what he used. You know, churches that use leavened bread are doing it wrong. Churches that use wine are doing it wrong. Because it was done during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And there couldn't be anything leaven in the house. Now, here we see that when Jesus had that Lord's Supper, it says in 1 Corinthians 11:24, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." This was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 7 days, there could not be any leaven in the house. You know, Jesus told his disciples, this do in what?
Remembrance
of me. What did he say to do? Have the Lord's Supper in this manner. Unleavened bread and grape juice. You know, if you think about it, all the way back in the time of Moses, we see that there was a perfect sacrifice which would be paralleled later, a lot later, through the Lord Jesus Christ as the sacrificial lamb. Back in the days of Moses, the high priest would go in and he would roll the sins over 1 year. But when Jesus went to the cross and he died on the cross and he shed his blood on the cross, our sins were not rolled over. They were forgiven. You know, I always think of John 3:16 when I go through this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, what we need to realize is that all the way back when Moses instituted the first Passover, when God told him what to do, God already could see what was going to happen in the future with the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. He could also already see the sacrificial lamb dying. He could also already see Jesus coming into the Holy of Holies and sprinkling his blood 7 times on the mercy seat. But he had to show the people all the way back then of what it was going to take to have true remission of sins. That there had to be one sacrifice given once for all. You know, as I was doing this, I got to thinking, a sacrificial lamb wasn't a whole lot, but it was a whole lot. Because it showed a picture all the way through the Old Testament of what Jesus was going to do on the cross for you and I. You know, as I come to the Lord's Supper, that's what I think of. I think of what he did on the cross for me. You know, for me, I didn't deserve it, but yet he did it anyway. We need to understand that the sacrificial lamb was given so that we could have eternal life. You know, there's a lot of people that don't understand that. They don't understand how that it had to be done that way. You know, I've heard people say, well, couldn't there have been a different way of doing it? No, there couldn't have. It was instituted all the way back in the time of Moses that a lamb had to be given. And it was fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how God has everything in perfect order. And everything is laid out for you and I to understand. Now, Moses, did he have any idea really what it meant? I don't think he did. Other than he knew that the priest had to go in once a year, sprinkle the mercy seat 7 times, and for an atonement for the people's sin for that year. I mean, that's what he knew. I do not believe that Moses understood then what was going to happen later on with the very Son of God. You know, I hope maybe tonight you got a little better understanding of what the sacrificial lamb is all about. and what the Lamb of God is all about. Because I wish I would have known this years ago. And I didn't really know it until I studied it out. And how much is really involved in it. And we need to take and remember that God had everything perfectly planned for us. And that one day when we get to heaven, we're going to see everything from the beginning to the end. And we're going to know why. And God will explain it to us. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your love. We just thank you for this message, the Lamb of God. I just pray, Lord, that we might have got something out of this that we can use in our own lives and understand a little bit more why you had to die on the cross for our sins. Father, many times we don't understand many things in the Bible, but we know little by little you will take and open up the mysteries to us and show us why things had to happen the way they did. Father, go before us now, I pray. I just pray as we go our various ways that we'll always be testimonies for you and that we always look to you as for our salvation. Be with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're all dismissed. Hope you got something out of that tonight.
Huh?
Wednesday.